This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, it's Kate Delaney. I hope you're having fun whatever you're doing, whether you're flipping burgers in the backyard, catching a flick, actually out somewhere on a lake, or maybe you're at a beach. I don't want to guess what you're doing, but I hope it's something fun. Find time to hang with your friends or your family and just have a chillaxing moment or two. Boy, it has been a wild first half of 2021, hasn't it? I just went back the other day and looked through some of my files for a huge end-of-the-year special I'm putting together. And this special might take a whole week. So Labor Day, what is Labor Day? Labor Day became an official national holiday on June 28, 1894. Did you know that? It was when President Cleveland signed a bill into law during the infamous and sadly deadly Pullman strike. So the work week back then was Monday to Saturday, yikes, 60 to 65 hours. By the 1920s, the work week fell to about 50 hours, and in 1940, Congress created the current 40-hour work week. I know some of you are laughing. Really? 40-hour work week? Because it doesn't feel like it. I know so many people complaining about that, but that's another story. So with 10 million job openings, labor has a lot to celebrate. There is a lot to celebrate if you think about that. And if you think about the past, and there are some good books out there and movies that document what happened way back when and how this all started, and it's actually pretty sad, but pretty fascinating too, as well. Yeah, definitely. All right, so Labor Day weekend, you can't help but turn to at least one point, right, talking about Ida and how shocking it was, the aftermath, especially in the Northeast, but of course in Louisiana too, where people are still lining up trying to get gas, people still are not without power, although most of that is starting to come back, but thank goodness we live in the country we do, such wonderful people, people are reaching out and helping each other, and that's it, keep doing that, never lose that sense of community or helping others. And there's nothing like not wanting anything in return and helping someone. And I'm seeing that a lot, in a lot of different areas in the wake of Ida or whatever the catastrophe, you know, is. Okay. So it's Labor Day weekend. And what's interesting is we are, of course, still dealing with coronavirus cases. And the thing that we kept hearing was booster, 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 right? So now health officials are advising the White House to scale back vaccine booster plans. What? I thought we were counting the months if we got vaccinated that we had to have this next third shot. But this is what's being said, that, you know, we need to collect more data. And you're okay if you already had those two shots. So who's saying that? Two health leaders made their argument in a meeting with the White House pandemic coordinator. Several people who heard the session said it was unclear how the White House pandemic coordinator responded, but he's insisted for months that the White House will always follow the advice of government scientists, wherever that leads. That's about what the scientists say. So less than 3 weeks ago, The president said that contingent on FDA approval, the government planned to start offering boosters the week of September 20th to people who had gotten their second shot of the Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna vaccine at least 8 months ago. And that would include healthcare workers, nursing home residents, people older than 65, who were generally the first to be vaccinated. Now, it's different because you have Dr. Janet Woodcock, who's the acting commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, and Dr. Rochelle Walensky. They had the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warning the White House that their agencies may be able to determine in the coming weeks whether to recommend them, or not, depending the recipients of the Pfizer vax. So hold on. Because we're going to wait and see what happens. You know, the advocacy group, that's because I had a Diet Coke and I never drink Diet Coke, guarding against pandemics is also calling on Congress to put $30 billion for pandemic preparedness in the budget bill. That group is saying that while there was an enormous investment in fighting COVID-19, lawmakers will give probably the short stick or shrift to preventing future pandemics. So let's not jump into this. Let's not have that playbook opened wide again. And that's part of what the Democrats are saying has to be part of the reconciliation package. But it may be that there has to be a compromise. I bet that's going to get sliced in half probably is probably what I'm thinking because, you know, the White House heading into the holiday weekend on Friday unveiled a $65.3 billion 10-year pandemic preparedness plan that they say is like the Apollo mission to the moon. And they called on Congress to allocate at least $15 billion in the budget reconciliation bill for the effort, which is half the amount the president initially proposed. So stay tuned on the Do-Re-Mi on this, and stay tuned on whether or not the most important thing, you need a booster if you got a vaccine in the first place, right? All right, so how about this? Broadway musicals returned on Thursday night, heading into the holiday weekend. The first two musicals returned to Broadway since they went dark in March of 2020. So you had to have a vaccine card in your hand. You had to have a mask on your face, but they filled the seats of Hadestown and Waitress, I guess, are the two that opened. And standing ovations, you know, the whole thing, because it's been a long time. I mean, it is complicated, right? How do you put a show back together? How do you stick to a schedule? How do you protect people? How do you move forward? I mean, this is for all of us, right? What's next? I mean, how do you move forward? And, of course, the shows that are the most popular that some of you may know because of kids, The Lion King, Wicked, Hamilton, those kind of shows, they're supposed to start on September 14th. And Broadway employs a lot of people that live in Oklahoma, people that live in Los Angeles, people that live in Iowa. When you make a trek to New York, I mean, you had a list of things you wanted to see. A lot of times you took kids to, like, The Lion King. So I think that people will come back, but you have to have a vaccine card. They're not letting people in who are not, you know, vaccinated. So stay tuned on that too to see how that all rolls out. Very sad, like I said, to see what's happening in the aftermath of Ida. You have stories of a mom and a dad and a son drowning after more than a dozen feet of water drenched their apartment. You saw the floating cars. You watch this, and then you hear the heroic stories, like the bus driver who said she was so focused on getting passengers out of floodwater she didn't notice that.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, so I've been collecting some of the emails that you have sent me over the past couple of weeks. Once again, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. And remember, you can always send me your thoughts, no matter what it is. Hey, and if you have a good joke, we're going to start the joke of the week thing again. Send it to me, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. So I got this one from Travis, who says, "Hey, Ms. Delaney, I started listening to your show a couple of years ago, I think right when the pandemic started, and you were talking about San Diego and thinking maybe you had gotten COVID when you were in San Diego and how sick you felt and a group of people that you were with and how sick they were. And I was wondering, because I know you said you're vaccinated, what made you decide to get vaccinated and what was that process like for you and do you feel safe?" All right, great question. Yes, I got the Moderna vaccination, and my husband's a vet, and he actually was signed up to get a shot first because he was in the Navy, and they called him and said, "Hey, you, the shot's available for you." And he was trying to get me in, but they, at that time they weren't letting spouses. But then we were on a list somewhere else, and we got notified that if we wanted to get the shot, we could be scheduled, and it was at a big stadium. So we did. It was super easy. There were soldiers who volunteered to help that were there that were wonderful. There were fire folks there too, and the people couldn't have been better. It was such an easy process. I felt nothing. I had maybe a headache or two, but no reaction to number one shot, no reaction to number two shot that I was aware of that seemed terrible to me. And I based getting the shot on what I was hearing from the scientific community and also the fact that I had friends who got deathly ill and are lucky they survived. So when we were talking about, well, this is, we don't, there's so much we don't know. Do we feel safe? Is this what we should do? Because of people around me getting sick and also one of my friends' husbands dying, who's a principal and it was the worst. And he was wearing a mask and all of that, but people around him weren't vaccinated. Then it became pretty clear. And now here, an acquaintance of mine was a super good guy. He used to have me on his show to talk about sports, actually. And sometimes we'd talk about other things, but his name was Phil Valentine out of Nashville, Tennessee. Really good guy, really good person. And he was not on the vaccine train. In fact, he had a little parody song he would play about it. And he just died several weeks ago. And I couldn't have been sadder to hear that news, honestly. And his brother said that he said, tell people to get vaccinated. So he was promoting don't get vaccinated, and he was saying, I wish I had done it. And boy, we've heard so much of that. And I was hearing that before I was vaccinated. So pretty simple process. It was smooth, no side effects. And if this is the best way to be protected, I mean, is anything 100%? I say this all the time. Do we 100% know half of the things we should know? Of course we don't. Do you try to get armed with as much data as possible? Of course. And then you make your own decision on that, and that was it. I mean, I'm so sad when I hear about these deaths. Florida deaths are at records. Arizona, my beloved Arizona, 3,000 people sick a day. Ugh. And then you hear these guys, and especially guys, but it can be women too, you know, in tears, crying, missing their kids, saying, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this. But wishing and then death, it's too late. But we live in a world where you have freedom of choice, right? And that's the thing. And what do you believe? And what do you think? I think the vaccine is it. Look, if you like Donald Trump, you know, the former president, he has said, he got booed. He got booed at a rally, and before the rally he was saying that. He said that at the CPAC convention. He told people, I got the shot, take the shot. So he wasn't hiding the fact that he got the vaccine. But again, there's going to be plenty of people, and I understand it. I understand people were experimented on. I understand distrust. I understand misinformation. Absolutely. But anyway, that's it in a nutshell. All right, this one is from Will, and Will says, hey, Kate, it sounds like you've lived a lot of places. Do you have a favorite place that you lived, and how lucky for you to have the kind of career, in one sense, where you got to really move around? You know what? I'm glad you picked that up. I say I'm like the luckiest woman in the world because I've experienced all of you, in a sense, the different parts of the country, and I love things about every part of this country. I love it. I love this country. You know, if you explore the country, there are so many good people out there, but there is just so much to see and do, whether you're in the South, the Southwest, the Northeast, the Midwest, the Northwest, California. I mean, yeah, I don't, you know, I used to think I had a favorite place, but I didn't have a favorite place of all the places I lived, because I could pick out things you know, that I loved about every single one of them. If you get my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, it'll surprise you, because I talk about that. I talk about living in El Paso, Texas. I talk about living in California. I talk about, you know, people I met and the great wisdom and that kind of thing, and then some crazy, insane things that happened. But I feel lucky that I've been able to experience a lot in a way in this very short amount of time. Now, there is another side to that. When you're moving around so much, it's like you know, you're moving up a ladder, you're moving to a different state, whatever it is, there is the excitement of that, the newness, the, you know, all of it. And it's incredible. It's an incredible high, I say, because you're exploring all these things and doing all these new things. But the other side of that is you're not rooted, right? So my brother says now I'm more Texan than anything, because I've been in Texas the longest, actually, now in my life. And I do love Texas and neighboring states, Arizona, New Mexico. I just spent that time in New Mexico. And Texas reminds me to remind myself when I go somewhere that if you dig a little deeper, you find other things out about places. So in other words, there's some piece of, whether it's a recreational thing or whether it's a piece of history or whether it's some incredible historic, you know, well-known restaurant that'll blow you away with home cooking food or whatever. The local knowledge, when you, the more you know about that, I think the better. So the answer to your question, I just danced down a road, is I don't have a favorite place now. I used to think I did, but I don't, because I feel fortunate to have been to, with this show, so many places, and to have lived so many places. But like I said, there is something to many people listening to me who are rooted in their community, because you have those long time, I have friends all over the country, which is very cool, but you have long time friends where you've known each other from high school on or whatever, because you're in that same area and you have all that local knowledge, like those things you did again and again and again, that become just part of the fabric of your life, right? So that's kind of the part of, that I missed, because the fabric kept changing. You know, that's it. It just kept changing. All right. How about this one? This one is from Kevin, and Kevin says, Kate, I like it when you do the man cave. Bring back the man cave every single show. You crack me up. I want to be on your man cave. I'm going to send you an email, and I'll give you more reasons why it would be fun to have me on. But I know that you covered boxing. I wondered if you ever interviewed Oscar De La Hoya, and did you hear about the fact that he has COVID 19, and apparently it's really, really bad. I did, and I have interviewed Oscar. He's not even 50, he's like 48 years old. And he posted a video of himself on Twitter in a hospital bed. He said he contracted it despite being fully vaccinated. He said he's getting treatment, he's confident he's going to be back in the ring before the year is up. And he said, you know, God bless everyone and stay safe, but how sad is that? I was so scared when I saw his picture, because I thought, oh no. And remember, De La Hoya was set to have a fight at the Staples Center in Los Angeles on September 11th. He last fought in a match in 2006. That's how long it's been for De La Hoya. Isn't that crazy? Anyway, I wish him the best. I think I interviewed him. I want to say I interviewed him like three different times. Really super personable guy. Really good guy. So we're pulling for you, Oscar. Thanks for asking me that question. And yes, send me an email. Let's talk about it. I said I was going to start to have some people in the man cave. All right. Stay through, everybody. I'll meet you on the flip side.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Officials in Flat Rock, Michigan are urging some residents to evacuate after a gasoline leak at a Ford Motor Company assembly plant in the city. Teams from Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services were going door-to-door in the affected areas to urge residents to leave, but those evacuations are not mandatory. Health officials say that they don't believe there is an imminent danger to residents, but they were acting out of an abundance of caution. Elevated levels of benzene have been found in some homes near the plant, prompting the suggestion to evacuate. And the Transportation Security Administration says it screened one of the largest numbers of air passengers this summer heading into the holiday weekend. The TSA says it screened 2.1 million passengers on Friday, the highest volume since August 15th. The increase in holiday travel coming as the U.S. sees increasing numbers of COVID cases and health officials asking unvaccinated Americans to refrain from traveling for the holiday. The U.S. is averaging about 153,000 new COVID cases per day. This is USA Radio News. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Sunday that the administration believes that there are around 100 Americans who were left behind in Afghanistan. Representative Adam Kinzinger wants to know who was evacuated out. The Illinois Republican tells CNN's State of the Union that the White House hasn't responded to his requests for information on who got out.
No, not yet. And, you know, look, again, it was interesting because as this was going down, this evacuation, the administration would stand up and talk about all this great success. And certainly, they evacuated a lot of people. I don't want to take that away from them. But we were hearing very different things on the ground. And, you know, we're getting really real big pushback when they're like, oh, no, it's going swimmingly. And we're saying, no, we're hearing nobody's getting through the gates. And I think what we're seeing now is I think we evacuated something like 8,800 of these Afghan civs out of tens of thousands that wanted to go. This is a shameful moment in America.
This is USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage. But even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Linda Harkey joins us now. She's, again, in our virtual green room, kind of like our author's lounge. And she's got a really clever children's book, Hickory Dock's Tales, The Pack, First Generation. Linda, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So I am definitely partial to dogs, and everybody knows that. I've adopted two dogs in my life, and I have Guinness now. And it's so interesting in what you talk about with the lazy dog Hacienda, the kennels. Tell us about what was it that inspired you to write this book?
I was inspired basically, Kate, by the many, many years of having hunting dogs and their intelligence and the stamina of those dogs. And each dog has a separate personality, just like people. And it really worked well for me to combine that with my years of teaching and working in museums with children. And that's what inspired me.
Yeah, and actually, you said to me something about 30 hunting dogs, right? Because your husband is a bird hunter.
Yes, absolutely. We've had that many.
Wow. What I can only imagine, do you get close to the dogs? I mean, they must have such unique personalities.
I do, and we don't have all 30 at the same time. Like right now, we've got two. In the past, we've had up to five or six at a time. And there are different experiences in the field when my husband takes them bird hunting is another reason that I wrote the book.
Wow, how fun. So tell us the story. Give us a little slice of the story.
Okay. I would be glad to, Kate. I have nine chapters, and basically there are nine stories. And each chapter or story is devoted to one of the dogs. Doc is the narrator, and he's a protagonist in the stories. And then Zeke, his younger brother, is the antagonist or the one that's very annoying and always thinks that he's better than Doc. And so they get into all sorts of situations with the rest of the pack. And Doc is the one that has enough, he's the oldest and wisest, and so he can pretty much help with all of the messes that they get into.
Wow, how funny. What do you hope kids take away from reading Hickory Doc's Tales?
Well, there are three things. And the first one, I believe, is simply telling the children a good story, and hopefully they will like the stories, and they will learn life lessons through the teachable tales that I have, but they're very humorous about the hunting dog and their relationships with people and animals. For example, in the very first chapter, the black-hearted hunter, Big Bad Carl, kidnaps Patch, who is Doc's daughter, and he's going to kidnap her so that he can hunt with her. And so Doc and Zeke, the one who doesn't even like water, end up having to go and save Patch, and she's in the back of a pickup truck with Big Bad Carl. And so they end up saving her. And so that story will teach children about teamwork and courage and adventure and excitement. The second thing I want the children to take away from my books is I want to encourage them in creative writing on their own books. I've gone out to elementary schools, and we've actually had the class write a book. We take a state in the United States, and then they take animals, and they have two animals in their story, and then they do an illustration. And so that works out really well. And one of the stories that I do when I go out to the children is Willie's First Secret. And Willie's First Secret is simply about a crow who becomes a family member with the dogs in the pack. And little Willie decides she wants some food. And so Willie goes out, and actually it's a he, and Willie takes food from Zeke and hides it. And then Zeke finds out about it and gets very upset. And there's a little portion. Could I read that, Kate? Is there enough time?
Sure, if it's short, and because then it people is. Will be drawn into that. Go ahead.
Okay, all righty. So the blue jay is actually stealing the food from the crow that's stealing it from Zeke's chow bowl that's out in the kennel. So here's the part in which the poor little Willie came back up. Zeke, Doc, we need to talk. The closer Willie got, the lower his head went. Willie was glum. I have a dilemma. And I barked, you don't say. And so Willie goes on, and I'm not going to read a portion of that, but then Willie says, yes, well, I have a confession to make. Willie gasped and then continued, I decided to take your food to store away for winter instead of finding my own. You had so much, and I didn't think you would miss it. Zeke bellowed, not miss it? Of course we missed it. I'm sure I've lost weight since you've taken our food. It's hard enough to guard our food against other dogs at the Lazy Dog Hacienda without having to worry about guarding it against crows. We want it back, every last morsel. And so then it goes on and on, and I'm not going to read anymore.
It's funny, yes.
But that ought to give you an idea.
Yeah.
And the viewers an idea of some of the stories in here.
Yes, the listeners got a real, I think they get a real taste for what this is, and I think it's such a unique book, and I love the wonderful lessons that you've weaved into it. Hickory Doc's Tales, The Pack, First Generation. Linda Harkey, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay. And they can get my book at www.harkeybooks.com on my website.
Perfect. Linda, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks to Linda Harkey for that. What an interesting book, interesting lady. So a couple of odds and ends on this Labor Day weekend. Travel is big right now, and people are impatient. But what is going on with flight attendants and people who are traveling on planes? I have never seen anything like this. I saw a headline the other day, and it said, dread at 30,000 feet. And the other part of that was,
inside the increasingly violent world of U.S. flight attendants. This was a CNN thing. And I have some friends who have been flight attendants, and I've talked to them about that in the past, and two that currently are. And they say they've never seen anything like what they're seeing with passengers who are normally pretty much wonderful, as one described to me who flies on American. But now, is it the COVID thing? Is it the masking thing? You know, what is it? But the summer, especially the behavior on the flights, and to me, the most shocking of all, if you haven't heard this story, I mean, this really is crazy, and it's flat out true, not exaggerated. There was a passenger who punched a Southwest flight attendant, knocked out two of her teeth. She had bruise on her face, had to go to the hospital. And of course, what happened was she got taped to her seat after it was so too out of control. So the FAA is saying that they've had to issue more than $1 million in fines in unruly airline passengers so far in 2021. And it's not over yet. We still have a handful of months left. And U.S. flight attendants are talking about the stress of the situation because they hear the stories. They don't know what's going to unfold on their flights. And it used to be, I guess, the exception, not the rule. That wasn't what they were expecting. It was very, very infrequent. Now there's so much pushback, and it could get potentially violent. And most of the arguments, not all, but a lot of the arguments are over the whole COVID thing, whether someone feels safe and someone's taking their mask off or pulling their mask down, and then the person next to them, who's a stranger, complains. You know, pre-pandemic, there certainly were unruly passengers. There's the International Air Transport Association, and they take all this data. But they say the numbers have risen so, so significantly. And, of course, alcohol seems to be a contributing factor. So travelers who get a little bit tipsy at the airport then add to that on the plane, or they flat out get bombed in the airport, they're inebriated. And then it all kicks in when you're up there at 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 feet, and it's too late. You're on the plane. So COVID-19 has exacerbated what's already an issue that's at an unprecedented level. And it's hard to imagine where you know, in my mind as a kid, I used to love going to the airport. Do you remember that? Did you do that? I used to love going to the airport. I was so excited to go with my mother to run in the terminal, which, of course, you can't do that now, but to get my aunt, to go to baggage claim. And now there's just all this disruption, and it's crazy. And the slurs that people are throwing out, and, you know, where's your decorum, people? Hold it together, for goodness sake. I mean, people are a little bit on edge anyway when it comes to travel, so why add to that? Why add to that? You know, this is why some of my friends say, look, get in the car. If you get in the car, it becomes an event, especially the world we live in now. That's the way to travel if you can. But depending on the place and the time, that's still not something that can be necessarily realistic. So if you're out there traveling, please be patient this Labor Day weekend. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. and cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room, and she's written a book called One Love in Oklahoma. Jennifer, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So you and I talked about your book off the air, and you had some interesting backstory on this. What led you to writing this book?
Well, this book has been, it was so much fun to write. I just wanted to learn the whole process from beginning to end on how to publish a book. And so I self-published this book, and, you know, even though it's a short story, it's just, it's got so much content in such a small area. It's just something that I've always wanted to do. I love to write. I've actually written 24 books, and I've got three on ebook published, and one that's that I did through a publishing house and published it myself. And it just, I just wanted to get the entire experience, and you know, it just, it was a lot of fun to do. And the book is, I think the book is just so much fun. It's a good, feel-good book, and, you know, I just enjoyed the whole experience.
Yeah, and this is a romantic novel. Tell us about the story. Set it up for us about this small town.
Well, at the time, I was living in Oklahoma, and, you know, the countryside there was really beautiful, and I the book itself is, of course, fiction, but I used a lot of streets and different locations in this book that somebody who was from, like, say, Muskogee, Oklahoma, they, you know, they would know the names of a lot that's in the book, but the characters itself, they're just so much fun. You know, the hero in the book, he had played football and just came back home to a small town. And, you know, I'm from a small town. So when I put it all together, it just, it turned out that the characters were wonderful. So, you know, if somebody has not read it, they need to pick it up. And it's just a good, feel-good book.
Yeah, so of the characters, don't tell us too much about it, but it's this romantic story, but they're kids. And you're talking about a football player and that whole setup of what you think in a small town.
Exactly. It the town itself was very small that I lived in, and just, you know, I kind of tried to bring the story to life through the characters. And, you know, you've got a meddling father that tries to bring them together, and he does a really good job. So it's a cute little book.
Did you ever think after writing One Love in Oklahoma you'd write 20-plus books?
Well, I actually, it's funny because I had written most of my books before I wrote this one. And because I wanted to know the whole experience of self-publishing a book, I wrote this book, you know,
for
this reason. And, you know, even though it's not a long book, it has so much in the book, you know, it just has so much content in such a small space. It was fun to write and fun to go through it. And I've actually got 24 books written. I have 3 that are, ebooks that I put out there. And then this one, which I published. And, you know, I really enjoyed doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You said that about the book. So what, if people get One Love in Oklahoma on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, what do you hope they take away from reading this novel?
You know, it's just such an awesomely fun, mystery-filled book. Just the little couple that are in there just so truly love each other, and it's just so much fun. It's a good book.
I like that. It's fun. Fun sounds good, and that sounds good for the tail end of the summer or heading into the holidays when you have those pockets of time. Again, as I mentioned, this book is One Love in Oklahoma. Thanks for joining us. All right, once again, thanks to Jennifer Rankin for that. So this is Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to give you kind of a stack of what I think the buzz is across the land. So you're hanging out with friends, maybe you're at the beach, maybe you're at the mountains, maybe you're just doing a little staycation, but you had an extra couple of days off. People are still talking about Hurricane Ida and how shocking it was, and how did people in the Northeast not see what was happening in Louisiana, and did they not pay attention, like the Weather Service is saying, or NOAA, as I call it, the National Oceanic Atmospheric dudes are saying, and dudettes are saying, you know, there was the possibility of extreme flash flooding, life-threatening, and that was warned. So you have a cell phone, and you see these warnings of catastrophic catastrophic rather floodings in New Jersey, Philly, New York City, all that kind of stuff. And people got it at like 8:40 or so. The National Weather Service warning of the dangerous flash floodings from the storms. And then there would be a couple more alerts after that, a barrage of them. And so now I just read this story today and it kind of freaked me. It made me think about this. Experts are calling it, there's a name for everything, right? They're calling it warning fatigue. And is that really true? Does that really play a role in some of these tragedies that people, you know, we had more than 24 people killed in New Jersey, 11 in New York City, drowning in their basement apartments or in cars, trapped in submerged waters on roadways. Half the places were places that I used to travel on every single day, whether it was the Vine Street Expressway in Philadelphia or Queens Boulevard in New York when I worked at the Fan. At least 46 people dead after flooding overwhelmed New York City and the Northeast. So the Weather Service is saying, look, we've acknowledged that alerts were being pushed out too often, so there's been a lot of hand-wringing over how to get more people to heed warnings. It's either they don't believe the information, like you and I, that we're hearing, they can't verify it, or there's some other reason that it's, because it's out of your control, they're not paying attention to it. It's an individual, so it's up to the individual. Are they on their phone a lot? Are they looking at it? And do they see that and say, okay, extreme, potential life-threatening, I'm out? Do they just dump everything they have and get out? People tried to flee, but it was too late. They got trapped because the water was gushing so quickly, so hard, with so much force. They couldn't open doors to escape. And they couldn't have fathomed. I think that's what this is. You couldn't fathom that flash flooding could transform your road, the place that you travel down, those places that I traveled down, into raging waters, just completely impassable. I think that's what it is, right? Because I kind of caught myself thinking, if I was still back east, I probably could have been on one of those roads just because I would be coming back from work. Would I have thought, boy, I don't think I'm going to make it? I don't think so. I mean, all those people that left the tennis, the U.S. Open in Queens, they got on a train and then their train was trapped and they were soaking wet and shivering and had to be rescued, some of them. There was a lot of people that got rescued, which, by the way, hats off to the first responders because they went above and beyond. I know that's what they do, but there were also people that threw in to try to rescue people and they did rescue them. And I think now, more than anything, you got to pay attention. You got to figure out what is it for you. Who are you paying attention to? What do you think is the definitive answer so that you don't get in that situation? Because people drowning in their basement apartments and in cars in New York, in Philly, are you kidding? That's not what we expected. And we saw what happened in Louisiana, Mississippi, and parts of Alabama. My, my, my. All right. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Happy Labor Day weekend. Everybody, please make it count. You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.